Welcome to the Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Michelle Cobb and Michelle Amato. Michelle Cobb and Michelle Amato are both second-year students in our Executive MBA class of 2022, and I recently connected with them via Zoom to talk a bit more about their backgrounds, how they decided to pursue an MBA, what led them to Darden, and how their career goals have evolved over the course of their time in our Executive MBA program. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here is my interview with Michelle Cobb and Michelle Amato. Michelle Cobb, Michelle Amato, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Brett.
Thank you for having us.
Well, I will say, from a podcast host standpoint, this interview has a certain level of difficulty to it. It's rare to have multiple guests. We don't have a ton of multiple guest shows. I also don't think we've had two guests that have the same first name. So I just want you to know I'm doing really heavy lifting over here.
We'll try to keep it straight.
All right. Well, I'll continue to include your last names just so our listeners following along in our conversation can keep track of who's talking. But first and foremost, Michelle Cobb, let me start with you. How is everything going? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's what, the day before Michelle finals for Q8. So we're excited about that. Another quarter down. It's holiday time. It's busy at work. So things are going well.
All right. Yeah, I was thinking about this as we scheduled this and we've had some events going on. It's exam time, which is always sometimes a busy time for folks. Sometimes not. It just depends on who you talk to. It's been my experience and what classes they're taking in that quarter and how they feel about those classes. Michelle Amato, how are you doing?
If you had asked me the same question a year ago, I would have said drinking from a fire hose. And I was, you know, couldn't wait for a little bit of a break. This year, I would have to agree it's an easier pace, or maybe it's we've just adjusted, right? You feel more comfortable and confident in understanding the pace and the pattern for your exams and what they take and how to block and tackle with your schedule. So like Michelle, I'm actually looking forward to getting through exams and then a little bit of a break before our last two quarters.
Yeah, I appreciate the context of where you are in the program. Y'all are second year students and graduation is in sight. So the end is near. It's an exciting time for your class. It's hard to believe y'all are almost done. I'm sure it's surreal for y'all. It's surreal for me because I can remember all those summer sessions that we did. We were on Zoom together. It felt like, you know, once or twice a week. So exciting for y'all to be where you are right now. So Michelle, let's start with Michelle Amato. Let's start with you. Tell us a little bit more about who you are and your background.
I'm based in Chicago. So not a drive to Darden. I fly. So I'm one of the little bit farther distance, but I'm not the longest distance. We have somebody in California as well. So I actually don't mind my flight. I'm a VP of sales for a software company called Workiva. I made a career change a few years ago to move to software. And that's also when I started thinking more about getting my MBA to help with my new goals and objectives and how I was going to be able to move forward. So I'm excited to be here and love being at Darden.
I would think logistically, Chicago to DC is pretty easy. Direct flights every hour on the hour, pretty easy to get between the two places. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a short flight. It's about, they say it's an hour and 15 minutes, but I think that has to do with when you're on like the runways and everything too, because I think it's about 45 minutes. It's actually not bad because it gives me time to read cases. So if I'm doing my review beforehand, not to say I don't do any cases beforehand, but it's nice to kind of get those checked off and have a little bit of time to myself that can't be taken by work or family. And it's door to door, 10 minutes from the airport to where the hotel we stay for Darden. So it's incredibly easy. And then flying back, I usually carpool with Uber or Lyft, and sometimes a local student in our class will drop us off too. And there's about five or six of us that all fly out about the same time. It's So if there's delays, we get a drink and we still have a little bit more fun before we head home. So it's kind of nice to have that separation. I can't be pulled into other things at home, which is helpful because our classes are pretty demanding.
And are you traveling on the day of the weekend residency, coming in on that Thursday night, wondering about the logistics, how you plan these weekends?
So you could fly in on Fridays. I do not. I fly in on Thursdays, one, because I'm able to connect with some of my classmates in town. And since we had over a year that we were all remote, it's nice to get a little bit of that time. Also, my fellow Michelle on here and I both are Orange Theory addicts. And so we like to work out on Friday mornings before class, and we're able to get in a 7 a.m. or 7:05, I can't remember the exact time, class, get back and get cleaned up and still get to class, which helps because it's a long day of classes and a long weekend. So having people you can get in some extra, whether it's a ride if the weather's nice outside, or at the gym. So I like coming in the night before because I don't like to be raced, but there are people who come in the same day.
Yeah, Orange Theory right there in Roslyn, if memory serves. So yeah.
It's a 10-minute walk.
Perfect. And I guess brunch at 11 and then classes kick off at noon. Well, mm-hmm. Thanks Michelle for taking time for the podcast to be here. We'll get into your Darden story in a subsequent question, but I want to make sure to make some time for Michelle Cobb's story. So Michelle, tell us about your background and your experience.
Sure. So I'm an upstate New York native. I grew up on a 4,000 acre sweet corn farm. So I thought my career path and journey would be in agriculture. I did study ag econ at Virginia Tech for my undergrad, but with no plan or expectation, I found myself in a banking career, to which I stayed in for 20 years. And I just left, thanks to the other Michelle on this podcast, and the networking and the advocating that she did to allow me an opportunity to pivot into financial services, but in the technology space, which was an underlying reason and driver of why I wanted to get my MBA at Darden.
Well, let's stay with your MBA motivations. You'd mentioned that you'd been in financial services for 20 years. How did you come to the realization that now is the time for me to get an MBA, mm-hmm. and I want to do an MBA at Darden? How did all that come together?
Sure. So I guess it came down, I think it was about 10 years ago, I'd explored and considered doing an MBA, and it just wasn't the right time. I had just started my photography business. My banking career was busy and fast paced. And I thought, you know, I don't have the time to do it. What I later realized is you never really have the time to do it. You just have to make the time. But from a career standpoint, 2020 was the year in which I said, this is the time. And, you know, whether it was the third economic downturn in my banking career that sort of drove that decision, or one too many glasses of wine the night I decided to apply to Darden, I don't know, but I'm glad that I did it. And it was the right move for me at the right time.
I know so many prospective students who wrestle with that timing question of like trying to find that perfect window or ideal window. From an admissions perspective, I tend to agree with what you share. There is no perfect time. When you talk about trying to fit school into a very busy and full life, it's always going to be messy. There's always going to be kind of rough edges to it, but it moves pretty quickly. I mean, what would you counsel, you know, someone, if they were here talking with you, what would you share with that person wrestling with that timing question?
It is manageable. I know it may not seem like it is. And I know that we're all busy no matter what we're doing or our career. This is an investment, not only financially, but with our time. And it's one that nobody can take away from you. And so you just make the time. And I think Michelle may have touched upon this a little bit, but you know, you get into the groove, you start to figure out the patterns here of how the quarters go, and some are different than others, but generally by, you know, the end of your first year, you've got it pretty much under control. And I will make a plug that it is kind of a family affair too. If you have a family or a spouse, it's a buy-in from everybody. If you're going to take on this journey, I think my husband has made dinner every night since August of 2020. It's what we do. And he knows I have a lot of dinners to make up for when I graduate in May, but it's a family lift really. And there are a lot of families in our program, a lot of students that have children, Michelle Amato included, and you just figure it out, and it's definitely manageable.
Well, Michelle Amato, coming to you with the same question, how did you land on, you know, I want to get an MBA and Darden's the place that I'd like to do that?
Well, I had looked, when I had also been in finance, I had looked at it and I couldn't seem to time it in. And then I made a significant career change. And so I put it on the back burner of, well, I'll get to it. And then you start to feel maybe I've waited too long. Like you start to wonder, is it going to impact? But you also realize if you want to make any career jumps, there's other things you want to do in your industry, that experience, the network, what you learn in the classes and how it challenges you to think matter. And so when I started looking at programs, I was looking for something that would relate more to where I am in my career than something that would have me buried in books all the time without industry experience. I wanted things that would make an impact now that I could talk to my CEO or my COO or my boss, who's our EVP for sales, that would impact how our business is growing. And Darden was the only one, based on them having the case method, that really allowed us to be focused in on cases and real world experiences. Even when we were doing LR1, COVID was relatively new and we had cases already on how do you handle some of the ethical pieces of who would get shots first, right? Before we get into everybody else and who's getting, like, who wants shots or not, and the whole political side of it, it was how do you actually determine what's fair? And it was so relevant to what was happening. That to me was a benefit I had hoped for when I was going through the process and saw almost immediately.
I'll stay with you, Michelle Amato, for this next question. So you had kind of wondered a bit about if it was too late in your career, which is something that comes up quite frequently as we talk to candidates who maybe closer to that 15 to 20 years of work experience window. How did you decide that, no, it's not too late? You know, how did you think through that decision?
So I was lucky in that at the time when I was looking at programs, my chief revenue officer had gotten his MBA about 6 years before, and he had gotten it at Darden. And so he had been about the age I was at the time I was looking. And he's like, no, now is the right time. Now is the time you can take the experiences that you've had and tie them into seeing the entire picture to really pivot from being tactical to strategic. And he made, you know, his experience and then talking to some others who had done that made it feel a bit more comfortable. But I was nervous that I would end up with people who were only 5 years out of school and our experiences would be so different that would there be a benefit to it. But I really think that it does. We have people in our program who are now chief medical. I don't know what the less rest of that title is supposed to be. So apologies, Alta. I know it's a phenomenal title. I wanted to say resident, but it's not a residency. Chief medical director, maybe. But we have people who are running large programs, and you know, it's been fantastic to interact and learn more about what they do as well. So I am grateful I did it now versus before, because I think I am getting more out of it.
Well, let's talk about your first year, Michelle Amato. So you come to Darden, you said earlier that now that you're a second year student, things feel a little bit more settled and you feel like you have a grasp on things. That suggests a certain learning curve in all of this, though. What was the first year like for you?
The first year was a bit difficult at the start of it, right? You feel like you're drinking from a fire hose. I hadn't been in school in a very long time. And so I was worried you know, you're trying to dust the cobwebs out on econ. I hadn't econ in over 15 years and probably wasn't all that great when I did econ the first go round. And then we were doing something called data analysis, and we'd get in things like moldy wine. And I was so worried that I couldn't make crystal ball roll, you know, run fast enough, and not really understanding that it was more, could you get to the analytics? Could you get to the analysis and make an informed business decision? I was incredibly grateful for my learning team. One of the best things I think about Darden is the fact that you get a learning team coming in. I have no idea how you pair us, Brett, but it's fantastic and phenomenal. I still talk to everybody in my learning team almost daily. We're either Slacking, texting, emailing on Zooms. And this is 2 quarters before graduation. And I think having a learning team with people with different experiences is helpful because that's what you have in the real world. I'm never going to be the accounting expert. I'm not in accounting, but understanding what matters to the accountants and understand what information I can ask for and ask more informed decisions is important. And I think that's one of the things you learn over the first year is you build out your learning team, but you're also building out connections across the cohort where we did our own tutoring sessions and that where you start to realize you aren't going to be an expert in everything. And that's not what you're going to be as you keep moving up as an exec. But the better you get at working with everybody together, the faster you're going to get to the analytics and understand the right questions to ask. And that's really, in my mind, where our professors were guiding us to. But that was a hard lesson to learn because I really felt like I had to know it all to go into an exam. And it's with being full-time as a VP, you know, responsible for P&L and a large number for our company, and a parent and a student, there is only so much bandwidth you have and you cannot be perfect at everything.
That is very important, but challenging lesson, I think, to a person when we talk to people about how they have gotten to a place where they feel like they're managing the program, they're able to juggle everything. The letting go of things is a really important part of that. It's not easy for the kind of person who chooses to come to an executive MBA program and wants to grow their career. These are people who are used to being able to do everything and at a certain level.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Michelle Cobb, does what Michelle Amato just shared, does it resonate with you? I mean, what was your first year like as an executive MBA student?
It does. It went by in a blink, I feel like. And I know there are days and weeks where it didn't, but in looking back, it's hard to believe that it's over. Especially to your earlier point, when we had those summer sessions, you know, I remember back in May of 2020, when you called to tell me I got in, it went fast. The good news, I would say, if it's not your quarter, and by that, I mean, if you're not an accountant, if you're, you know, quantitative analysis is not your thing, you really have to deal with it for 6 to 7 weeks and then it's over. And when I did get frustrated or realized, gosh, this isn't really my class. I just remembered, you know, it's going to be over before I know it. And I have so many resources in this cohort aside from the professor, you know, to Michelle's point, the learning team, then learning teams start to mingle and mix and grow. And, you know, a couple of learning teams will become one. You have an arsenal of support to get you through these classes, which then would calm me down and I'd make it to the finals and come out the other side. So I'm here to tell any prospective student, you will come out the other side.
Well, I appreciate the airtime for the learning teams. That's a joint production between admissions and student affairs. Laura Bordoni, friend of the podcast, you know, she's been on here before talking about some of this work. In the summer, we get together, and one of the things we did for your class that we've continued to do for subsequent classes is announce the learning teams a few weeks prior to the start of school so people can start to get to know each other. And I do feel like from a process standpoint, we've gotten better and better each year in terms of thinking about how to put those teams together. And, you know, student feedback about teams and input from faculty has been really, really helpful in that endeavor. And Michelle Caba, I really appreciate your point about the cadence of classes, how often you're getting new classes in this program. You move in 2-month increments. So, yep. You know, every couple of months, you're getting another 3 classes or so, particularly in the core and then electives, you're picking your classes. So, you know, where y'all are about to go in the program, you're gonna choose your classes.
That's right. I feel like we are in the fun part. I mean, it was fun. The core classes were fun, but, you know, now we kind of control our destiny and take the classes that either, you know, resonate with us or, you know, I signed up for a couple that I have no idea about. And for that reason, you know, I want to learn a little something new. It wouldn't be fun for me to take all finance because that's what I've done for most of my life. So I want to stretch and learn some new things. And this is a great, great time and environment to do that.
I want to stay with you for a second, Michelle Cobb, and talk a little bit more about this second year and where you are heading into electives. How did you pick the classes that you're taking? Because we get a ton of questions from prospective students about the focus areas that are available and students really feeling like they have to specialize. I think oftentimes people come to these kind of experiences and MBA programs thinking about their undergrad, where they had a major, they had a particular focus. So how did you pick the classes? Michelle Cobb, we'll start with you, and then Michelle Amato, ask you the same question.
So I focused in primarily on leadership and strategy. Those are areas that I felt I needed more exposure to. In the bank, I was an individual contributor, which is a great role, but it's also a role that I wasn't necessarily leading a large team. I was leading a smaller team, but I was charged really with just relationship management, and I would call it same level leadership, you know, helping lead my peers. I do eventually want to grow in a leadership role, so these classes are the way for me to get some exposure to that and learn through the case method, you know, real cases, real leadership challenges, and how I can apply that as I move forward in my career. Strategy is something, you know, I think we all do every day, whether we call it that or not. And so I like it. And then, of course, I did sign up for 1 or 2 finance because I just couldn't help myself. But yeah, I think there's a large variety for everybody. Whatever is your passion. So
I was doing the math. I was talking to Yael as well about this. And over the past 2 years in the executive MBA program, 45 plus electives have been offered. Mm-hmm. Those 2 classes, the class of 2021 and the class of 2022 combined, which is an incredible number of electives when you kind of think about the scale, and it's roughly 270 students between these 2 classes. And you have the opportunity to take 12 elective courses as executive MBA students, which I will say when I started at Darden, executive MBA format students took 6 electives. And GEMBA students actually took 0 electives. And so now we're at a place where IMBA and GEMBA format students take 12 electives. And giving students that choice, that opportunity to pick their classes, that's something that the program team and the faculty have thought a lot about with this population because the needs and interests of executive mm-hmm. MBA students have evolved a lot over this time.
I do have one quick addition to make regarding independent studies along the elective topic. And that could apply to anybody with whatever independent study someone might want to put together or a couple of students put together. I am working on one with a fellow classmate who is starting a new business in Southwest Virginia. And so the independent study, which is our elective for this quarter, one of the electives, is helping him put together a business plan, the marketing strategy, forecasting, all of that for him, which I enjoy and is somewhat second nature from my past, but, you know, I love being able to be creative and almost an entrepreneur and get a credit and a half for it. So shout out for the independent studies.
I appreciate the recommendation of the independent study. It's actually something we mentioned to prospective students a lot because it's a great flexible option in the curriculum for people who maybe want to do something very specific or they have an entrepreneurial idea and they want some space to work closely with a faculty member or to collaborate with classmates on that idea. It's been a growing option in terms of its popularity with executive MBA students over the past couple of years. So thank you, Michelle Cobb. And Michelle Amato, coming to you, how did you think about the electives that you're choosing or that you're taking in these upcoming quarters?
So if you'd asked me at the beginning of the program, the electives I thought I was going to be taking and what I decided to take were not one in the same, especially in Q1 where we took economics and data analytics, DA. And although I loved the classes, I just felt like I wasn't, didn't have the right background. And until you made it through finals, I was like, oh, I guess I was doing better than I thought, but it was difficult. And, you know, and the reason I bring that up is I then by choice chose to do emerging and frontier markets with one of the heads of the World Bank, who is our guest professor, as an elective, which I would not have picked. I also added a third DA class and did data analytics and sports leadership. And those pushed me a bit outside of what would have been my comfort zone. And so instead of sticking with some of the things that I may have picked in the past, I looked for classes that would challenge me and realizing I would not be the strongest student in each of those classes, but I was going to get a lot of information out of them. I lead for our global FS sales. And so for me, understanding some of the other markets or a deeper dive into what people are looking for and understanding the World Bank's position on it was very valuable for me, but it was definitely not an easy class to take. We had some other options like speaking about business, I think was one of them. I was like, I could take that one. But that one wasn't going to push me. Or negotiations, where everybody in our class is like, well, of course, Michelle's going to take negotiations. I was like, no, I negotiate in my sleep. Like, I'm not going to take a negotiations class because you get to the point that most of us get to where we want to be pushed. We now feel comfortable enough that it's okay not to know all the answers because we're going to be stronger and more effective and efficient when we come out of that class. So those are some of the things that I'm taking. And we do have the opportunity, and Michelle Cobb and I are both doing this together. We're in Dean Beardsley's week-long CEO class. It overlaps with the full-time students in Charlottesville in January. And I think we're both pretty excited about the opportunity, not only to be with the full-timers to be in Charlottesville, but also to spend that type of time with the dean and into this subject. And originally that was not going to be one of the electives that was offered. But when he talked about it, when he came to see us and the students raised their hand saying, but we're interested, they found a way to work it out so we could do that along with the classes that we're already taking. And that to me was an important way of seeing that the school was really listening to, you know, how we want to learn as well. So I would say, I think that's benefited, you know, Michelle and I are both very excited about that opportunity that only came into play like a quarter and a half ago that we could move our schedules around to add. So I think that's also important to note is Darden is flexible in that and found ways to get us additional classes and opportunities we may not have had before.
Yeah, I think it's surprising to people as we talk with them and we say, you know, students play a really active role in shaping their experience here. It's oftentimes student feedback. There's a lot of you know, conversations between the program leadership and student leaders and just students generally about what would you like to see? What can we offer here? All of these kinds of things. And, you know, to hear that you and your classmates said, we would like to participate in this class. Is there a way to do this? And to hear that the program leadership went and made that happen. I'm not surprised by that story. I think it's great for our listeners to hear that because that is very much the DNA of this program. So Michelle Amato, I want to come to you. We've been talking about career goals and the sort of series of conversations we've been having here on the podcast recently, and this kind of question around, you know, you came to the program, had something in mind, perhaps in terms of your career, where you'd like to go and what you'd like to do. Has that stayed the same? Has it evolved? How has it changed or not over the course of your time here at Darden?
It's definitely evolved. When I came, I was firmly saying I am a climber and that's what I'm looking to do. And it's not to say it's changing whether or not I want to be at my company. It's opened my eyes to other things that I may enjoy or want to do or challenge myself in doing, whether it's at my company or in other areas. And I think that's one of the things that being at Darden has allowed. We have a VC and PA PE club, so venture capital and private equity. As someone who came from that industry, it's changed a lot in the 9 years since I switched into technology. And it's been really beneficial to see how they could tie back into each other. You know, how I can leverage the experiences on both and maybe, you know, craft something that would be exciting and interesting for me going forward, whereas I thought my path had to just line up and down. And I think talking to my fellow classmates, but also the guest speakers that we have, whether they're in class or with our Friday Night Lights, has been really helpful. And our professors are always willing to stay after class and talk a bit more about that, especially if you're like, so how did you get there? Or could you connect me with that speaker? Because I really want to understand how they took private equity and now are investing in minor league baseball players. Like, I was like, I thought you could invest in almost anything. And I still hadn't thought that was one you could tie into each other. So I do think it has opened my eyes more than I expected it to. I expected it to help me be a better leader. What I didn't expect it to was help me understand all of the different ways you could be a strong leader and those opportunities don't have to be exactly in your current wheelhouse.
Michelle Cobb, coming to you the same question. This is the question I've been waiting to get to in this podcast because I think this is one of the punchlines of your stories here, how they, you know, they start, you're in the same class, and then they get closer and closer together. So talk to us about your career goals, your career interests.
So when I arrived at Darden, I was a switcher. And I think for any prospective student that will come to Darden, you will have a few classes in the beginning that help you sort of think through what you are and where you want to go. And there really is no right answer. It's just maybe helping you create a path. So that was my path. I knew that my time in financial services had reached a point where I was not really challenged anymore. And so that began, that was the signal for me to start leveraging the network, the Darden network, and none other than to start in our own cohort. There's so many people, 150 of us, that come from different industry and backgrounds and have connections themselves. So my friend here, Michelle Amato, started talking about Workiva. I think our whole class is now well-versed on Workiva, and we're all trending to be working at Workiva at some point, I think. But when I learned about Workiva, and that there was a place with financial services within this technology space, I'm like, wow, that could be the challenge for me that I need right now in my life to try something new, but in a familiar space. And so I jumped at the opportunity to join Michelle's team and stretch myself. I don't know anything really about technology, but I'm learning. But what I do know are people and relationships and sales. And so this is a great spot for me right now. And where it will lead, I have no idea. But that's the beauty of this experience.
Well, it's a great story. And we say this all the time. It's fantastic to have this data point here on the podcast. Because one, your most immediate network as an executive MBA student, your classmates, really, when you think about it, all these people are working, they're doing things, they've got very live networks, opportunities potentially at their companies. And we've had times in LR1 where people would stand up to introduce themselves and say, my company, this is what we do. And by the way, we're hiring. And you never know where those conversations go. So it's great to kind of hear the two of you and in the way that you know, your stories have intersected and that you're now working at Workiva. Are you surprised by the way that this has all played out, Michelle Cobb? Is it make sense on a certain level? I'm just curious.
Well, yes, I am surprised. And I have no regrets in how it turned out. I think it makes all the sense in the world that I am where I am in this current moment. I love Workiva. I miss my banking family, but this was the next step. And I take all that knowledge and all of that, you know, institutional knowledge that I have, and I can apply it in my new position. And I just think, we didn't talk about this, but Michelle and I are both from upstate New York too. So maybe we're destined to be in this moment at this very time, but, it's, I love the intersection that has occurred here. So
when people tell me these kind of stories, I think about, well, what's the statistical likelihood of this particular thing? For example, Michelle Amato from Chicago, you know, looking at executive MBA programs, lands on Darden, decides to come to Darden. Michelle Cobb, you noted that this is something you thought about for a long time. You finally get to the place where you say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to come to Darden. I'm going to be in this class. And it just happens to all line up. It just, to me, there has to be an element of just serendipity to it that you have to believe. It's some like higher cosmic order or something.
I agree.
Well, Michelle Amato, what are you looking forward to in the months ahead? As we noted at the outset, you are both short timers in the executive MBA program. You have doing the math right, about 5 months or so to graduation. So.
Seems crazy. Outside of hiring more of my classmates, because I actually hired one after Michelle, there's now three of us and like five others interviewing. That didn't plan that. Our cohort thinks I am like, eventually they're all going to work for me, but that was not the plan. The best thing about the cohort and my kittens, I told you they'd make an appearance. The best thing is because we're all so good, we're also open to networking. People are finding other opportunities. The other classmate who joined is actually from my learning team and transitioned from the military. So also a significant change. And I think, sorry, kittens. So as soon as, you know, others in the program started talking about it too, we've seen a lot more change in that direction. And I think it's made us a bit tighter that people feel comfortable talking about what they're looking to do. I'm not sure I'm going to miss having to balance classes in school, although I will miss the challenges. I am going to miss my cohort. I'm going to miss my learning team five. And I'm going to miss the people that I've been with, but I'm kind of lucky because some of them joined me at my company, so I don't have to say goodbye, which is also kind of nice and was unexpected. So I can't believe we have 5 months left, but I also know we've got lots of things to accomplish in those 5 months. And I think our cohort is probably going to stay fairly connected to each other moving forward. We're very, very chatty and connected with technology teams anyways. So I do expect that to continue.
For our listeners, one of the things that doesn't necessarily always come through on the audio is when pets join us on the podcast. And Michelle shared before the podcast that her family, they have kittens now and that they are prone to be on the camera. Well, while Michelle was answering that question, kitten made an appearance and then promptly fell off the desk behind Michelle. So in case you were wondering what that sound was, it's a kitten. So not something we get to say all the time on the podcast. So Michelle, I want to say, like, you know, the profound thing, I think, for people, you know, when you talk about the learning experience and the challenge and all of that, but it's just being in a place where you're surrounded by, you know, 140 or so classmates who are all asking these kind of deep questions about themselves, exploring their career, kind of thinking about where they'd like to go. Can be harder to find that kind of thing out there on the street, in the real world, at your company, whatever the case may be. I mean, to have that time, to have that space, that's typically the thing that I hear students getting sentimental about, is that sense of like shared enterprise where you're all kind of together in asking these big questions about your life and what's to come.
Yeah. And it matters. I feel grateful. I'm sure every class is really excited with the people that they've been in a class with, but you know, I've really enjoyed getting to know my classmates and even with someone who lives in Chicago, I've never felt excluded. They send me pictures of their dogs. They send pictures of their children or visiting holidays. Like our class is so interactive or sets up dinners or, you know, events for when you're in town that you don't feel that you're not actually there all the time. Like for me, I really feel a part of the class. And I worried about that with flying in. Would I be kind of like out to the side? And it really, they make it so that everybody feels welcome and a part of everything that's happening.
Well, Michelle Cobb, coming to you, same question here. You know, what are you looking forward to? You got about 5 months to graduation and a lot, I'm sure, that you want to pack in.
So as Michelle hit on, I mean, we still have a lot to do. We're both on the engagement committee. So we've got that to tackle before we leave and get set up and get our class on the right page for staying engaged long after we walk across the lawn and get our diploma. But I think, I will enjoy having my evenings back a little bit, but to Michelle's point, I'm certainly going to miss the routine of being together with this class, and whether it was COVID or the time we're in this world, our class is really connected. They've said that, you know, Laura Bordoni's like, your class is just so connected. And I do think we are special in that, right? We've had to work really hard to connect with each other at a time when we started this program and we couldn't be in person. And that has created this bond. So I'm going to miss that the most. But like anything, you just make the time to stay connected, and we will see each other for sure at our 1 year reunion, which I'm already looking forward to. So yeah.
You're right, Darden. The 1 year reunion was really impressive to me. When I came here, I was a new person to this, and I had not been a part of an institution that really emphasized come back within a year of graduation. Mm-hmm. And not just the emphasis of like, you should come back. The number of people who come back is really, really incredible. And I think it says a lot about people's investment in the experience. You know, the fact that people genuinely enjoyed their time and they want to get back together as soon as they can. And obviously there's a lot of connections that happen independent of the reunion structure. We see people traveling and taking incredible vacations. I will say for your admissions officers out there, at, like, man, how do we get a plus one on some of these trips? I would love to go. All right, Michelle Cobb, we asked the same last question of all of our podcast guests. Any tip, advice that you would want to share with our listeners here?
Well, I'm going to pay this one forward because a class of 21 shared it with me at one of the early mixers we had. The sooner a prospective student can get comfortable knowing that you can't be 100% in everything going into this program, the better off you'll be. And I think each one of us has had to get comfortable with that. Get comfortable with that uncomfortable feeling, but you just cannot do it all at 100%. So that's work, family, life, school. 90% is good. Hey, in some weeks it's 70%. It just depends, but it's okay. Do the best you can and ask for grace and they'll be fine.
That's right. You will graduate. You will find a way through it. All right, Michelle Amato, you get the last word here. So piece of advice, a tip you would share with our listeners.
You know, I'm grateful that I found a school that was actually not in my backyard. It really opened my eyes to different demographics and different experiences that I would not have had if I had stayed with any of the programs in Chicago. And so I would say be open to something that may be different or open to something that pushes you a bit outside of your comfort zone. Because as Michelle said, you do have to get uncomfortable and get comfortable being uncomfortable. And that's definitely been something I've benefited from at Darden, because for most of us applying, we've been very successful in our careers. We've worked really hard, and you're going to be put in some situations where there will be somebody who understands it to a stronger extent than you do. And you really have to understand that that's okay. You're still, you know, and how can you leverage that information to take it into the side that you are focused on? So I am very grateful for the diversity that's within our program. You know, whether it's from different industries, different ages, different genders or ethnicities or abilities, it's really made, that's what makes our cohort, I think, so beneficial.
Well, Michelle Cobb, Michelle Amato, it has been such a pleasure catching up with both of you. Congratulations on everything that you've accomplished thus far. And hopefully we'll see you around Saints Family Grounds the next few weeks.
Thank you, Brett. Thanks for making the time today. It's always good to see you.
And that was my interview with Michelle Cobb and Michelle Amato, two second-year students in our Executive MBA Class 2022. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.